This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
I can't hear the fucking call. This is the sound of you.
Welcome back to another edition of That Millwall Podcast. It's a different show. This is just going to be a ramble of latest Millwall news and some general chit-chat, really, between myself, Chris and Joe. Don't panic. We are doing those 11. They're just going to take a little bit of research compared to obviously using our knowledge like we did with the previous ones. These ones are actually going to need a bit of effort on our part to make sure that, one, we don't miss any fucking donkeys, and two, make sure that we don't miss any, you know, homegrown talent. And we've just sort of debating what the criteria is and whatnot. So if you're tuning in for them, don't worry, there is one of those or two of those coming shortly. But for the moment, we just need to do our research to make sure that the show is as good as possible. So without further ado, I'm going to welcome the two guests for tonight is our regulars, is Chris and Joe. Good evening, gents.
Good evening.
How are you doing? In unison, isn't it?
I'm practicing that.
That's it. Yeah. It's all good. So the gents, slightly different. Obviously, we were going to do a different form of show tonight, but due to changes, we're going to do it this way. So I think latest news, obviously out today, is Keith has left. He's gone to a Dutch side, which I think, you know, to be honest, he's got a cracking deal there. He's got a 2-year deal with a possible extension for a third. It's in his native country, and I don't really think it's a bad deal for a 31-year-old. I don't think he would have got given that deal at Millwall. I think if he was lucky, he was going to get a 12-month contract. So, yeah, and to be fair, I think it was good for us, but I don't think we're going to miss him. Chris?
No, I don't. I mean, I wish him well. I don't, no sort of ill feelings on it. I think he sort of would get going and then he got injured. I think he had two injuries in his time with us. For me, he was not going to be a first teamer next season, regardless of the transfer activity we do. I would put, at least Mitchell, Saville and Leonard, if Leonard's going to play in midfield, excuse me, ahead of him. So no great loss in that respect. He is experienced at this level, which I think is something that, we want to go in a slightly different direction and bring in more youth and I guess more sort of pace and sort of physicality into the team. But as I'm sure we'll go on to, we've lost Pierce. We're going to lose Jed, Kifton Beld, Matt Smith. I know not in the summer, but he was a very big character in the dressing room. So we're losing experience. So you can go maybe two that way. That's the only thing that concerns me about losing Keith, not his playing ability, to be honest. I'm not saying he was influential in the dressing room at all. But I do think he's an experienced head at this level that would have been handy to have in the squad. But I wouldn't have given him more than 12 months. And if I was in his shoes, I'd have gone back home with a 2/3-year deal. So fair enough. Joe, what do you think, mate?
I mean, to be honest with you, I was that sounds bad to say. I was quite glad to sort of see him go, really. I mean, he's a lovely player. He's always sort of given 100% when he's played for us this season. I just look at him and I think to myself, is he the player that's going to help us get into Premiership next season?
Yeah.
And I can't see that happening. I read somewhere online, I think he mentioned this club called FC Emmen. They'd come in for about 6 months ago and he was non-committal at the time. He's waiting to see what Mill were going to offer. But I think the way he put it is, look, he's got another year or two left of playing football. He always wants to go back to Holland, be close to his family, his friends. He mentioned about how much he loved Millwall, he loved England, you know, and it's been a pleasure sort of playing for us. But I think he kind of made his mind up that he sees himself sort of going back to Holland. The team that he's going to, they got promoted from the second tier. So it's their chance of playing the top tier in Dutch football. So I guess the challenge is there for him. It's quite an exciting one for him. But personally for us, you know, I'm quite pleased that he's not going to be here next season because, again, I don't think he's going to give us what we need to push up and improve what we did this season, to be honest with you. So wish him well and hope he does really well there. But hopefully gives an opportunity to create some space and some extra wages there to spend on better younger players maybe.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think he was what probably gets treated around as a Millwall type of player. I mean, he was up and at him. Do you know what I mean? He would get that yellow card to basically take one for the team every and then go through people. Yeah, and he'd go through people. Like they fucking weren't there. But I just don't think he was. It was really beneficial to us. I don't think there was any one game where you go, if we didn't have him on the pitch, we would have lost that.
Do you not think there's something changed in him? Like the start of his career at Millwall, he seemed a lot more lively. He was getting stuck in.
Injuries, I think. I think it's injuries. Yeah.
He's faded out, hasn't he, second half?
He never really got a run, did he? That was the thing. He never really got a run. And I agree with what both of you are saying. I'm more concerned about him as a player in the squad as opposed to him, if that makes sense. Yeah. It's another body that
he's just taking a space.
That was going to take a space. We learned in the week, thank you Kai for sharing on Twitter, that we're going to be able to use 5 subs next year, which, I mean, I don't agree with. I mean, God, whatever's next, do you know what I mean?
But, so is that what I don't understand with that, is that 5 subs plus the concussion sub? Or is that 5 subs, including the concussion sub?
Good question. I don't know. I've not looked into the depth of the rules, but
I'd imagine plus. I think if you're looking at it, I mean, if you've used your 5 subs, you've got 10 minutes left of the game, and a player has to go off concussion, then I'm sure they'll allow an extra play, wouldn't they? Or a 4?
Changing half the team.
Yeah, it's half the team. Half the team change, isn't it? Yeah.
I mean, it's madness, though, isn't it? I mean, why the fuck do you need 5 subs? I think
it's great in some ways. It's great in regards to how often you watch games, the last 10 minutes, it kind of like drags out a little bit. You've got tired legs on the pitch. You've got maybe injured players hopping around. This gives an opportunity to kind of liven up, freshen up the last 10, 15 minutes of the game, but also gives opportunity for players to get some minutes. Yeah, if you're a young player. But I can't help but feel this will only really benefit the top teams. And you look at some benches at Fulham and Bournemouth this season, the players that they can bring on.
Yeah.
And they look at the teams that are sort of in the middle on the bottom side of the Championship, and they're scraping the barrel just trying to fill their subs bench, aren't they? So I can't help but feel this is going to really, really, really help the stronger teams, the bigger squads with better players, more so
than anyone else. We all know realistically that this is possibly, along the lines of somewhere going forward with the amount of subs that it's going to benefit the advertisers at some point. There's going to be, if it's a televised game, it's going to give an option to run a quick advert while they do sub change, or they're going to drag it out a little bit to get a 30-second advert in there or something. But I don't think it's for the benefit of the game. I think it's probably more external reasons than benefit the game, because changing half a squad through the game, it's just madness. I mean, you play football where you know you got three chances or you had three subs and you know that you've got to have a tactical decision. Now, if your front, you know, your front three, your front four, whatever, ain't working, you could pretty much change the whole lot in one hit, or you could change your back four in one hit and suddenly, you know, you've turned the game on its head. I mean, you imagine, you know, with us, all of a sudden, we go from Bradshaw and a phobia up front, and we suddenly, for instance, we bring in Bradshaw, Jed, fucking Saville, for instance, you know, suddenly we bring three, four new strikers on and attacking midfield on, and you've just changed the game completely from how it was to where it is. That to me, just takes the idea of tactics and whatnot in football. And for the bigger teams, as you said, you know, for Bournemouth and all that, and Fulham's and the teams like that, the ones or teams that have just come down, they've got the players there where literally they can, you know, they can play 45 minutes and then change the squad. And then literally their midfield and their strikers will have new legs come the second half, and you ain't going to compete with them.
No, but this was voted, I think, by all the clubs, wasn't it, in the Championship. I think they all had to vote, and they all kind of, whether it was a majority vote, I'm not quite sure how they did it, but apparently it was voted, and they agreed to it. You know,
it's like turkeys for Christmas, isn't it, mate? You're never going to let the fucking turkeys vote for Christmas, are you? Because you ain't going to get a Christmas when you're letting, you know, the people what are so fixated with money vote on things. You're letting CEOs and whatnot. It's not the managers, I think, or the players what are voting, is it?
I guess that there's pros and cons to it, isn't there? I mean, if you're looking at, you know, longevity of players, I mean, surely you're resting players more often, so they're not going to be so prone to injuries anymore. Yeah, because let's be honest, it's usually the last 15 minutes you tend to get players going off with knocks and whatnot at you. And
it's football, for fuck's sake. They get paid shitloads of money. Who gives a fuck about me? But it's part and parcel of their game.
But it's quite how I have. Sorry, Joe. The issue I have with it is I don't know if it's going to negatively impact younger players, actually. Yeah. Because if I'm Gary Rowett, and I'm just going to use Lovelace, he's probably going to go, but let's just say he's here next year. You're thinking, I don't know, say a League One team comes in on loan for him. Whereas that would have been, yeah, go on, go and get yourself some games. It might be, actually, I need to keep you here because I know I've got to have a slightly bigger squad than I did have. And actually, the kid's going to get a lot less minutes than he would do by going out on loan for a season. So it depends how you look at it, but I think it could negatively impact the youngsters coming through because they will be kept at their parent clubs, not playing many minutes when they could be out getting some real experience.
Yeah, you raised the youth section. We go on with this as these conversations normally do. The bit what confuses me with Rowett is that one minute in the press they go, it's all about young upcoming players and putting youth into the team. And then on the other hand, he don't bring the youth in when we need them. So, you know, a lot of last season, we had some good youth players, you know, on the fringes who we didn't really necessarily use. Yeah, we used Lovelace a couple of games, but some of the other youth, we never really got into the team. But
is there any names obviously, that you're thinking of there?
When we were short, when Jed was injured and a couple of the other, I can't think now where the ones, but because we talked about it before, where you're like, he obviously isn't bringing in the youth because he doesn't necessarily trust them. Because Billy Mitchell, he keeps saying, you know, Billy's not the player I want him to be, but he's getting there. But he's obviously doing all right because he's doing a job in the team, probably on an area where we're short on players as such. Danny Mac, again, you know, is a great player. But again, when he talks about him, he says, you know, Danny just needs to move on his next part of the game. So, you know,
you don't like Danny Mac.
No. So these kids are good. But to me, you've got, you know, like, I can't fucking think of his name now. He's left now.
He's talking about Sean O'Brien. And like
Sean O'Brien, was a good Tesney. What's his name?
Junior Tenser.
Yeah, he was a good player. They were both good players, but they've been released. And you're like, okay, we don't know what's going on, but it's like we got good kids what are available, but we weren't giving them any time
Do you think so, it's because they weren't setting the world on fire with the 23s? I mean, Junior Tienzi,
they were doing all right, the 23s. I mean, Junior was doing all
right. But doing all right and setting it on fire is two different things. And maybe what he's looking for, or any good championship club's looking for, is if you've got an under-23 player, they've got to be not knocking on that door, they'll be banging on that door. And they've got to be really, like, you know, playing well on under-23s to show that they can make that next step up. It's not just moving up from under-23s into, you know, a slightly higher division. It's the championship. It's one division below the premiership. And maybe he's thinking these players are not quite ready for it. And
but what?
It's why some of them are let go, aren't they?
I understand where you're coming from with that. But my point is that on one news article, Gary Rowett's going, it's all about the youth. We need to bring the youth through. We need to develop a younger team so that we can follow on for more years to come. And then he goes out and buys players or loans players at 29, 30. You know, Keith, for fuck's sake, was 30, he was what, 30 when he come to us?
And a few others,
why go for, okay, you want experienced players, but why go for old players when 1 minute on this article you're saying we want youth, we want this, and then on the next time, all we see from your actions is that you're buying old players.
All I can say, Mick, is in the championship, I don't think our youth product and the conveyor belt of talent coming through is good enough.
Down to the fact of our training and everything else. That's
the academy.
I think that's what Rowett's getting at.
Yeah, I mean, saying these things
because he's basically saying we need to invest in youth. Yeah. So it's kind of tongue in cheek, which is why they're not getting.
But again,
the only time they got played was the FA Cup. That's it.
But again, the only time we've had real success with youth players is when we've been in League One. We've had no money. And we had to kind of basically rely on youth players to come through. And they've had games that have done really, really well. But you can do that in League One. You can do that in League Two. In the Championship, unless you've got a real strong, you know, product coming through of talented, high-skilled, you know, talented youngsters coming through, there's no point. You know, my son is coach my son's football team. And I've got mates of mine who coaches Premier League teams. And they're scouts, and they one mate of mine scouts for Man City, and he used to be a scout for Chelsea for like young kids and stuff. And he talks about different categories and whatnot, and what teams going to offer. Millwall are nowhere near the attractive proposition for any kid or parent. Don't forget the parents.
You've got
clubs like, for example, Sutton at the moment, believe it or not, that are probably more attractive than Millwall. AFC Wimbledon is more attractive than Millwall for a youngster because of the categories. You've got different category levels, and apparently their category and their academy, if you like, is probably well better run and more attractive to these young players coming through. You know?
I mean, our academy is over at Blackheath Rugby Club, so it's a shared building. But, I mean, I think that's what... If you read all the new stuff around the new training facility, I think that's what the comments are, isn't it? It's have everything in one place, which means that the kids then... I mean, it must be great, you know, if you're an academy kid and all of a sudden you're training on the pitch over from the first team to see, if I do well here, I'm going to be over there. But at the moment, where the first team either trains at the Den or it trains at Calmont Road, you know, they're miles away from it. You know, they're nowhere near where the first team trains unless, you know, they're allowed over there occasionally, or maybe they play games at the Den, or, you know, they might see them occasionally. And also, I can't
expect any better than we get.
Exactly. I agree. But with
the new training facilities that we're going to be getting in the next, was it, couple of years, that's going to be a massive, massive attraction for young kids, because that's going to help our academy. That's going to, you know, really sell it to all these youngsters coming through. And then hopefully that will help us attract better players within a 1 hour radius, I think it is, from where the training centre will be. And I think that's when we've got a chance. Yeah.
As much as you're a Millwall fan, your boy gets an offer between, I don't know, Chelsea, Millwall, Sutton, and you walked into Chelsea, massive, great, big fucking training complex. What they got, fucking 20-odd pitches, you know, state-of-the-art hospital facilities, state-of-the-art fucking medical, you know, state-of-the-art this, state-of-the-art gym, blah, blah, blah. You go to Sutton, they probably got everything. I've got no idea. It's all quite modern. And you go to Millwall and you've got, you know, 1950s, 1960s fucking porter cabins with, you know, cladding on, in the middle of, you know, houses, everything else. Where would you put your boy? I don't think you would. Well, as much as you're Millwall, you probably wouldn't really want your boy going. I mean, to be fair, if your boy's into football, then it's a cutthroat world anyway. And if you, you know, would you want to push your boy down that path or not? I don't know. I don't know if you would or you wouldn't. But
I mean, my heart would be pushing to Millwall, you know, of course. But you've got to think longevity. You've got to think about his development, progression, and also the chance of actually making it. I mean, look at Chelsea's academy. It's about three different academy levels. So my boy is under 40s, going to under 50s next season. And if he was good enough to play for Chelsea, there'll be three different levels. So you got to play for like the A team, the B team, the C team. So you could get to the academy. It doesn't mean you're going to make it as a pro. But one thing I would say is that they would have excellent coaches there. So, for example, Brighton have got a very, very good academy. A good mate of mine is actually a coach at the Brighton Academy, and they are doing things so well there, brilliantly well. But what you've got to think about, these boys coming through the academies, it's not about, are they going to play for that team? It's where they're going to be when they're 18, 19 years of age. So, for example, when I sat on that table at the player sponsorship with George Saville and Luke Freeman in the season, just chit-chatting with George and Luke, and what was interesting is George Saville said he went through a Chelsea academy and it was gutting when he was released. Luke Freeman was an Arsenal fan, went through the Arsenal academy and was gutted when he got released. So those two players didn't make it. Let's be honest, they didn't make it at that level. But with the coaching they got, the development, both physically, mentally, skillful, technically, it allowed them to then look at other clubs beneath Chelsea and Arsenal, but still play at a good level. The same as, you know, as most Premiership clubs. But the trouble is, if you go to a lower team, no respect to Millwall, but let's say you come from Millwall and you don't make it in Millwall, where do you go? Dartford? Do you go, you know, to a non-league side? There's not really much.
Pick you up, ultimately. If you've come through a good academy and you don't make it, then someone will pick you up. And
only if you're a good team. For example, If you're a Manchester City youngster or a Chelsea youngster or a Liverpool youngster and you don't make it through their academy, you get released, you're there 6 years and you're released at whatever age it is, 17 or 18, whatever it might be. There's so many clubs at Championship level and League One level that will say, you know what, I don't even know who this kid is, but I'll have a look at him. The fact that he's been 6 years at Chelsea or Liverpool, Man City, he's going to be decent. Let's have a look at him. So there's going to be so many opportunities there, isn't there? But if someone says to you, oh, this youngster at Grimsby is being released, you're not exactly going to bust the gut to get this guy in for a trial, are you? And where would he go?
No, but I do think Millwall has got quite a good reputation with youngsters because we've lost some good youngsters to City, maybe. You know, we've lost some to City, we've lost some to Chelsea, etc. So, I mean, there are some...
Yeah, there have been some
good lads out there, but... I agree with you.
To a good
club. Yeah.
I mean, there's talk that he's going to go possibly Glasgow Rangers. I mean, Glasgow Rangers is a massive club, but is that, you know, playing in Scottish football, is that really for him?
No, but then you've got a question as well. Is he better off staying at Millwall for another 2 or 3 years with the Millwall coaches, or are the coaches at Rangers better? And again, going back to his development, is he going to be better off going to Rangers for 2 or 3 years, developing there? Will he develop more there than where we are at Millwall? So there's so many questions you've got to ask yourself. And you're a kid and a parent.
Here's a question on what we said there then. Do you think that part of our progression to the Premiership is that we're failing in our youth academy setup currently?
Yes.
Well, can I just step in there? I mean, not to give it much away, Mickey, but we're doing a show tomorrow with a couple of guys. I think you're calling it the Arsenal secrets of getting to the Premiership on a low budget.
So yeah.
there's a couple of guys we're talking to who are Norwich and Brighton fans, and both of these guys will talk about how they've brought youngsters through their academy and sold them for millions and millions of pounds. You look at Norwich, for example. You know, James Maddison went to Leicester for millions. Buendia went to Villa. The Murphy twins, is it Jacob Murphy and Josh Murphy? Yeah, yep. So many youngsters have come through. Aaron Lennon, I think it was another one. Is it Aaron Lennon or Aaron Lennon? Who's the other guy? I went to Burnley. Oh, his name is now. A winger. Well, anyway, you've got so many young players. So what I'm saying is these players will help their clubs, but if anything, they can sell them for millions and millions of pounds, and that money gets reinvested back into the team to then buy more established players that can then get them up to the next level, you know? When we haven't got no money really to go out there and compete with our top 10 teams in the Championship on a transfer front or even on the wages side of it, what's the next thing you can do? You can either look at a loan system or look at your academy level players. And I don't think we've got anything in our academy that's really going to push us into, you know, a top two or top six place at the moment, because we're not blessed with enough talent coming through. We might get one, you know, or two, but that's not going to do it for us, is it?
You have to do one of two things, right? For us to get to the Premier League, we either have to invest heavily in youth and...
Yeah.
Either way, what I'm about to say, we have to become a better selling club.
Yeah.
We've never been a good selling club. We never sell the right players at the right time. Jed Wallace and Jake Cooper both could have been sold for multiple millions before now. And now Jed's going to go on a free. And ultimately, we're not any further progressed than 2 years ago when we could have sold Jed for whatever we could have done. So you either invest in your academy, produce your own stars. I think that's what is a famous quote, isn't it, from Arsene Wenger? You know, we don't buy stars here, we make them. You either do that or you have an incredible recruitment model. So Brentford is the obvious one that springs to mind, where you're able to buy players and churn them on for a lot more money. But the principle is the same. You get a player, you invest in that player, they help you grow, and then you sell them when the time is right.
That's right.
And that's what we don't do yet.
No. Even with Cahill, didn't we? We didn't. I mean, the only reason reason we did that was because no one else wanted him. So Theo got Simon Jordan to make a bid, thinking that it would create a bidding war, and it didn't. You know, no one else came in for him. It was just Everton.
I think Theo
was about 1.3 million, and that was it.
I think Theo at the time was trying to cash his chips in, wasn't he, at that point? You know, he knew what he wanted to leave. He'd done his job. He wanted to get out. He wanted to make a bit of money, sell some players on. Yeah, you know, he sold quite a few on. He's just happy to get rid of a few players before he left.
I know someone who was involved in that deal, and basically they tried to create a bidding war, but it backfired.
Mm.
And we ended up losing a player, you know, to Everton.
But Timmy wanted to go as well.
He did, but we the problem we had, it's like what you just said there, Chris. The problem we had is that we hang on to players too long. Mm. You know, he was coming towards the end of his contract. And
picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
If we didn't get rid of him quickly for some money, we wouldn't have got anything for him.
The only time we're
now in the same...
There's one time, Mickey, we done it right. That was with George Saville, wasn't it?
Yep.
When he went to Middlesbrough.
We did it right. I think George Saville pushed, and George Saville's agent pushed that hard. And I think that someone, you know, convinced him that he was going to be on bundles of money, which he didn't get. But he went. But you say we made out of it. But I think part and parcel of the deal with him coming back was a lot of that fee was written off as such. So there wasn't actually loads of money.
So I think we were supposed to get instalments, weren't we, over a period of how many years? The fact we got him back on the cheap meant that we couldn't then cash in on the rest of those instalments. So yes, we got him cheap. We kind of didn't. We got him cheap, but we're kind of paying for it in the long run because we're not going to get the extra revenue in that we're supposed to be getting, were we? But what I'm saying is he's made some money out of him. We made some decent money out of him. We got him on a cheap,
yeah,
you know, good bit of business. But apart from that, could you think of anyone else that we sold? If you look back and you know, that's a good bit of business.
Probably Morrow. Morrison was probably...
Did we? What, to Norwich?
We got about 2 million for him, didn't we? Two and a half million for him.
Wasn't that much?
Yeah, but I don't think it was in one hit. The problem is that these deals aren't in one hit, are we? The problem is with these deals, they're not, here's your check for 2.5 million. A lot of them are, yes, it's £2.5 million, but actually it's £800,000 now. And then if he gets into the Premiership, you'll get another £500,000. If he scores more than 25 goals, you'll get another £500,000.
Exactly.
And it's all tied up. So we just get these figures thrown around by journalists going £2.5 million, when actually it's not £2.5 million.
No.
It's the same, you know, same as Saville, you know, what is it, £8 million or something? £6 million, £8 million.
I bet if you
broke it down, I reckon we'd be lucky if we got a million and a half up front. And the rest of it was due to add-ons and score bonuses and performance rated and everything else. That's the problem with football, is that everything about it is all cloak and dagger.
So, again, this sorry to interrupt you there, Chris. Going back to, you know, resell and buy and cheat, I mean, Daniel Ballard. I mean, I know we're going to push the boat out a little bit on the moment, and news there that Arsenal saying, look, we're listening to offers, we're happy to let them go. You know, do we kind of break the bank a little bit to sign him with a view to sell him on? So we got from a 4-year contract, let's say, we keep him for 2 seasons. In year 3, we then look to try and sell him on, because he'll be 2 years older, a lot better, and we'll probably make some money. Even if we buy him for 1.7 or 2 million now, and we sell him for 5 million or 6 million in 2 years' time, not a bad bit of business, is it, you know?
Problem is, we don't seem to offer big deals, though, do we? I think, you know, and it's been proven, these, you know, extended deals, long-term deals, are actually only fucking 24-month deals anyway, with extensions.
They've got to offer longer contracts. But then on the flip side of that, if you get relegated and you're struggling financially, you're then tied into paying
these guys. Relegation clauses. You put relegation clauses in, didn't you? But someone like Ballard, realistically, I would offer him, I would go for, you know, £1.5-2 million. I would go for that because I think it's worthwhile.
So I think Rowett said, to accumulate enough as a club. Brentford, the players that they went and sold on, your Ben Rama's and Buemo and Tony are still there, but they still cost a fair bit of dosh. They're not bargains. They're not cheap. They're bargains in the context of what they're worth now. But Ballard could be this model. Now, Ballard is the exact sort of person we should be going out for. We should be paying the £1.5-2 million. I just don't know how much money there is there. So if it was going to blow our whole transfer budget, would I do it? No, because there are other areas that need strengthening a lot more than centre-half do. But if we have the opportunity to pay £1.5-2 million for Ballard, and the gamble is, will he be worth more than that in 2 years? I think so, but what do I know? Then we should be doing it, right? And that's ultimately the challenge. It's basically having a player that you invest in that you think is going to have a resale value.
But say for instance, say the transfer budget, including wages, or as such, you know, with wages to play around with, so you can work it, you know, 20 grand, 15 grand or whatever amount. I mean, if you've got a budget of, say, which is quite believable for Millwall to be maybe 3-5 million, then Ballard is a big risk to that budget.
It's a big chunk of it as well.
Yeah.
Especially when we talk about the need to sign attacking players.
I mean, and what are you going to put him on?
Saying about how he made it quite clear, right? He was in for Ballard, but then have to lower expectations a little bit, is what he said. And everyone would knock him and think, oh, fucking Rowett, you know, lack of ambition, lack of this. But you're right, Mickey. If you've got a £5 million budget and that's half your budget gone on one player that you don't really desperately need, because let's be honest, we've got defenders that can cover and you're really looking at attacking players, you can understand the hesitation almost, can't you, splashing the cash. It's also where's it lead me elsewhere, you know?
Yeah, when you look at players like Afobe, who's rumoured to be on 40,000 pounds a week.
Yeah.
He's not gonna get out of Millwall.
No.
So even if we did go for that, he's not gonna get out of Millwall.
He's not gonna get out of his next move. So the kind of Afobe will know, regardless of where he goes, unless he goes to Turkey again. He's not going to get anywhere near that money.
But is he going to get 20,000 from Millwall, though?
I think
he'll get 20,000. Yeah.
I think you'd get 15,000.
We paid 20,000 in loans, didn't we, with Zahor when we had him? I think we paid half his contract, didn't we? That was 20,000. Going back a little bit again about the resale, buy and sell. I mean, the Ivan Toney one was a fantastic one. I think wasn't he owned by Newcastle? I think he was a youngster or something.
Originally
for years, and they loaned him out to about 10 different teams over like 6-7 years. Never really made it. He had a great spell at Peterborough. Peterborough signed him for, I think, like £500,000. They had him for one season. Ollie Watkins then got sold by Brentford to Villa. They needed to buy a player to replace Ollie Watkins. Yeah. They used some of that budget, not all of it, some of that transfer fee to buy Ivan Toney from Peterborough for 5 million. So already Peterborough has splashed 500,000. They've made £4.5 million in one year. And then Brentford get him. And he's talked about what's he worth now? 30, 40 million, they reckon, potentially. Probably. Ivan Toney at the moment.
Potentially more. Business,
That's Peterborough and Brentford showing great bit of business, but at different levels.
Do you think that we just don't have the coaches at the moment to produce multi-million pound players? There's no disrespect to our coaches, because I've got no idea. Where I've not watched the training session or anything else, but I'm just saying, you know, we've got a lot of the coaches we've had for the past so many years, and we've not really, I don't think we've produced a multi-million pound player. The only player we've made multi-million pound in theory, and he wasn't really our player, was Harry Kane, because Harry Kane was on the verge of being released by Spurs, and then he come to us.
But that was more to the game time. You could probably help that player by 5% or 10% max on it improving their game, but ultimately it comes from within. They've got to have that natural ability, technical ability to get to that level. Now, Harry Kane was quite clearly a very good player when he joined us, but we allowed him to play games. He got confidence, done really well. He then left us. I think he went to Norwich on loan after that. Again, got run of games, scored goals for them, then got back into the Tottenham side and smashed it, didn't he? So you're right. I think coaches can help, but only marginally, I think, by 5 or 10% improving that player. But we need to, recruit again. All down to recruitment. You've got to get the players in.
One thing what I think is good now with recruitment is that we're now finally fucking looking overseas, because for years we weren't looking overseas. And me and Omar on past shows, what we've done, we banged on and on and on that we needed a director of football to have a way of football that it doesn't matter what manager's there. This is the Millwall way, whether that be 5-3-2-1 or 4-4-2 or 4-3-3-1, whatever it wanted to be, that you had a certain way of playing. And that was the way we recruited for. Is Aldo going to be that person? I don't know. Aldo, 10 years ago, Aldo was a football journalist working on the South London Press and a fan who, started News at Den, started reporting at Millwall, everything else, then got involved in the club, then went to Stoke and now come back to the club, gets very well on with John Berylson, et cetera, et cetera. So, Berylson's obviously got faith in him. But is he going to be our life and saviour of the recruitment? I think that's still yet to be seen.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know what goes on, right? But I've not looked at Stoke's recruitment in the last couple of years and gone, cool, I wish we had signed them, really. But one bit of recruitment I do want to talk about, Mickey, is Coventry. And the reason I want to talk about them is because I think they epitomize everything we're saying we need to do. And there's three players I want to bring out, all for me, which have shone when I've seen them play. The first one is a right back called Dabo. And I remember he had a really good game against us. And I remember whilst I was at the game, just Googling his name. And he's from Southwark. And, you know, born and bred in Southwark in our area. So why are we not picking him up?
He played for Millwall.
I don't think he did. Did he?
I don't know. I'm just saying.
I don't know. So so again, we talked about attracting youngsters. That was the first point. The second point is players, to your point, Joe, that maybe go to a better academy, don't quite make it, but get picked up. Callum O'Hare, fantastic player at this level, worth millions of pounds, was at Villa, didn't make it, got released. Coventry gave him his first chance and he's excelling in the Championship. Mm. So that's two angles. The third angle is what we just talked about there, which might remind me of it, is the European market. So they signed Gustavo Hamer, who cost them, I think it cost them about £1 million. So it wasn't cheap. And if you look at Coventry's budget, it's probably not too dissimilar to ours. So if they can afford him, we can, is kind of my point there. And the geezer's class. He is absolutely superb. So you've kind of got picking up players in your own backyard. You've got looking at players that have been released by bigger clubs. And you've got the European market. And there's four examples about another club with a similar budget of doing it.
Mm.
Why can't we?
Exactly.
Exactly. See, the thing is that the club's line on this normally is, you know, well, you know, we can't really attract the players because of the reputation and this, that and the other, which I don't necessarily agree with because, you know, we have players here and we've signed players over the last year and we've attracted new sponsors and everything else. So I don't necessarily believe that line and you can wheel it out every day if you want, but it is what it is. I think we need to change our academy setup. We potentially need to look at actually looking at speculating to, you know, or accumulate, you know, we need to look at using our youth as an investment to go forward, which I think this new training facility will do. And I think that will be, it's a huge investment. You know, whatever the land cost, by the time you're going to build, and everything has to be on code one, which is basically sustainability, energy efficient, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. To be a code one building, what they're looking to do will cost you millions because it's a greenfield site. So everything from, you know, grass on the roof to fucking harvesting rainwater to doing this, doing that, everything is going to have to be done. So when they water the pitches, all that water is going to be redone. Everything about it is going to be energy efficient. And I work within the industry and I know how much of a ball lake it is. So absolutely, it's going to be millions and millions of pounds. But that investment potentially will do us favours, but not for another 5-10 years down the line. So has it finally dawned on people in the club that for us to progress, we need to have this investment if we seriously want to look? Because I don't think, you know, we could spend, what, £30 million this year on players, but would we still be good enough to get in the Premiership on the back of that? I don't know if we would.
I don't think we're very far away from it. I mean, this has been Rowett's best finish points-wise, isn't it? Scene just gone. And, you know, as a club,
Still
wasn't good enough, but you're always looking to improve. You're always looking to move forward next season. And the problem we've got is we're losing, arguably, our best player. if we had Jed for next season and he was still playing for us, then you can build on that, you can improve on that and get better. The trouble with us is that by us losing Jed, we're kind of taking two steps, but not one step, we're taking two steps back and then trying to rebuild. Now, if we take a step forward, we're not going to be as good as we were last season. We take two steps forward, we might be there or thereabouts. So I don't see us doing that much better next season, to be honest with you, because, like I said, trying to replace Jed is going to be near impossible because we're not going to have the money unless we get really lucky in the recruitment market and we find a real star, a real gem overseas or like Chris just said, looking at, you know, people being let go from academies or whatever. That's our really our own hope, our only hope really of replacing Jed with an adequate player.
Yeah, I mean, just one thing before you come in, Chris, there. I wasn't slating Rarrett when I said we're not good enough. I wasn't looking at slating Rarrett there. What I'm saying is I just don't think he's been given the budget what he needs.
But the budget's not there.
If you're always looking that do I buy one good player to give us the goals we need, or do I need to put that money across four mediocre players who potentially I can make better to fill various positions for us. And if you're always doing that, you're never going to have that edge. And the fact of the parachute payments, clubs will come down, normally progressively bounce back up, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It must be hard being a football manager in the current setup with the clubs and everything else that, as last year proved, you know, injuries, schedule, fucking, you know, pain in the arses, all that. He's got the discipline under with no red cards. He's got us looking as if we're playing better as a team. It's the highest position we've finished in the last 3 years. We're now being an established championship club for 5 years. Everything's going in the right way.
It's about time we are down League One then, isn't it?
Yeah. But are we a established championship middle of the table club?
I think we are.
Or are we potentially within the next 3 years going to hit the golden time and go to the Premiership? Or are we looking at potentially we're down in League One again?
Like I said, I think mid table is what I'm projecting we're going to do next season. I think, you know, it's not what we want to do, but I'll take it. You've got to think about, as a manager, as what the jobs that Rauch's doing, how difficult it is when you're on a shoestring budget, you're against 10 other teams, let's say, top 10, 12 teams that have got more money than you spend on players. You then look at the teams that are coming down, the likes of Norwich, Watford, Burnley, they're getting all these parachute payments. They've now got 30, 40 million pounds spent on players. So you're trying to compete with your existing rivals, plus new rivals coming out with money, and you're trying to build a team that's going to compete with them and get to the top two or top six position. It's near impossible. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's near impossible because, again, Luton approved.
Luton,
and they can do it on a very similar budget. You know, there are teams that can find their way in there, and with a bit of luck, you could do it. You really can, but I just think it's just a tough job. I can see why so many managers manage Millwall for 2 or 3 years, get to a point of thinking, you know what, I can't take it any further. I can't do anymore. You know, my hands are tied there a little bit, and then almost like throw the towel in and look at doing something else, because that's the difficulty. That's what you're competing with. If you're in League One and you're going up to the Championship and then you get relegated and you go up again, you know, you can enjoy a bit of success. But when you're managing Millwall, it's almost like really you're fighting relegation every season with a hope you might finish mid-table or get a sneaky chance against the playoffs. That's all you're aiming for. You're setting out your season for almost like a mid-table finish, shouldn't you, really? Yeah. And is there much fun in that as a manager or as a player? I don't know. It's a very tough.
And that's why Rowett's done a great job for me. He's done a superb job. Is he the most exciting manager in the world?
No.
No, he's not. On and off the pitch. But at the end of the day, he is doing a very, very good job. I mean, you know, we've just for doing some of these shows as part of it and picking our 11s and stuff, you go back and you look at squads that we've had in years gone by. And you look at the caliber of player that is on our books now versus 10 years ago. And it really is night and day. And it does show you as a club how far we've progressed. And obviously we've got 100%, Jackie 100%. To thank, Neil Harris. But Rowett has taken us on a step further.
Also, don't forget that Jackie closed the academy.
He did, didn't he? Yeah.
Again, if you look at that, yeah, it was down to money. We, you know, it was down to money because we were producing nobody. So, you know, we went down a couple of categories there, which probably shot us in the foot in the long run. And now they're looking to, you know, if we get that state-of-the-art building, it's going to up our category within the academy. So, yeah, we'll see. But look, we've been rambling on for 50-odd minutes now. I think it's time for us to probably bring it towards a close. Again, look, if you've got some points on this, please do get involved. Get involved on Twitter. Get involved on YouTube in the comments, wherever you want. So yeah, we're going to start closing down. We'll go to the boys and see if they've got anything else they want to do. But again, if you want to continue this conversation, our Twitter handles are all on the top. Get involved and carry on the conversation. It'd be good to hear some of your points, whether or not we've been talking bollocks for the last 50 minutes, or whether or not actually some of the stuff we've said you agree with. So, Chris, you got any final points before we do look to close down? We're not going to close down right this second, but you got any final points you want to do? And then we'll go to Young Joe afterwards.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, I think it could be worth a poll on Ballard, actually. If he was going to take 50% up of our budget, would you sign him or not? I think that could be quite an interesting poll.
Great idea.
Would love to hear what people's thoughts are. The other thing I was just going to say, I read today, and maybe I should have brought up earlier because we're not going to really get an opportunity to discuss it, but we had a young lad on our books that we released a couple of years ago. I think he was a fullback for us, but he's changed to centre-half, called Jesse Debra. And we released him, and he has played for Halifax for the last couple of years, and he's just signed for Huddersfield. You know, another example of a player that, look, he may never play for Huddersfield because they load him straight back to Halifax again. So, but it's just an example of another player that we've released, you know, possibly deemed not good enough. And, you know, Toffolo's another one at Huddersfield, you know, like someone that did. So there are diamonds there. We need to find them. But really enjoyed this show, Mickey. Thank you.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of the time these shows where we do them off the cuff as such. We're just doing raw on subjects what we just interest us rather than where we're having to do. But the player 11s we're going to do, we need to research it fully. And also I want to make sure we've got a full house with doing it, because I think that's going to be an interesting show to chair on that one going forward. So, yeah. Joe, you got anything you want to add to our discussion tonight? And I'll take it you're going to run with that poll as well, are you?
Yes, I'm going to put that one out. It's a good one, Chris. I'm going to do it once tomorrow morning. Just wanted to say before we end, you know, good luck to Alex Pearce and congratulations on that move to AFC Wimbledon. I think he's been a great servant to our club. Obviously, his legs weren't quite there this last sort of season or so, but you can see quite clearly that he loved Millwall. He was very, very passionate whenever he did get a chance to play for us and did his best for us. But I think AFC Wimbledon have got themselves a really, really good player there. You know, they're down in League Two, aren't they? They got relegated. So you can imagine Alex Pearce playing in League Two with his youngsters and him at the back there marshalling their defence. They're going to be straight back up again. I can see it quite clearly. You know, he'd be fantastic for them. Really, really good sign. And also, good luck to Sean Williams rejoining Harris over at Gillingham as well. So,
two Harris boys, is getting the band back together.
That's it, exactly. So good luck to the old boys, and I hope they do well next season.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
Both class acts off the pitch as well, so massive respect to them.
Yeah. Right, just before we do end, whoever it was who designed that fucking England collective flag, you need to go fucking give your head a wobble, mate. Fucking hell, what a cunt. To put MK Dons on there as well was fucking shocking, but... Hey ho, that's just a little bitch as we do. So, if you've not seen the video, check out on our feeds on Twitter or Instagram. You'll see it, or even TikTok. You'll see the video with a group of clubs on there, which probably would never really be joined up at the hip as such, regardless of England or not. It is what it is. Anyway, this has been that Millwall podcast. This was just a ramble for the last 50 minutes or so. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. Please do give us a review. Let us know what your thoughts are. Is our recruitment good? Do you have faith in us? Do you think it's time for us to speculate on the youth market to accumulate at a later point? I don't know. Look, we've raised lots of different subjects. If any of those has struck a chord with you and you want to raise your bit, then please do get in touch. You can email the show at info@ or even that Millwall podcast at gmail.com. or info@thatmillwallpodcast.co.uk, whichever way you want to do it, all comes through to us. Please do make sure you're following us across Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Nearly 600 followers on Instagram, not doing too bad. So, yeah, if we could hit that fairly soon, that'd be great. That's it. Thanks for listening. Remember, we only do these shows with your help listening each week. Thank you, Chris, for joining us tonight.
Pleasure as always, mate. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe, for joining us.
My pleasure. Enjoy the ramble.
Yeah, so did I. So that's it. That's it from us for another couple of days, I suppose. We've got a couple of shows going out this week and next. So, yeah, tune in, get ready, and hopefully enjoy the shows. Thanks for listening. Speak to you again soon. Millwall.
Days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport, powered by fans.